tree and leave your troubled mind. 'Cause you'll make
Crazy Ford, who headlined the main stage last night and who hosted an amazing workshop this morning. Thank you so much for joining me on the CKVS stage.
I'm happy to be here. Yeah.
How long have you been making music? Did you grow up in a really musical family?
I did. Yeah. My mom is from a family in the States, and I realized recently that her heritage is actually Cajun, because she's French, Irish, that had come down from Canada like a few hundred years ago and making music along the Missouri River, and they're from Nebraska, which I realized was part of Louisiana. So they're kind of part of that Cajun sort of thing that happened. And so her family was very musical, and my parents came into Canada in the 60s, but my mom sang all the time, and she had me sing the melodies so that she could harmonize. So I grew up with kind of this sort of country-ish singing around me all the time, sort of. Yeah.
You were, of course, a founding member and one of the main singers of Vancouver's iconic folk trio, the Viva Tanyas, before launching your solo career with your album Obadiah in 2010. Mm-hmm. How do you feel your art evolved with your solo work?
Well, with the Viva Tanyas, it was a real cross-section of our interests, and in a certain way that band formed as kind of at that time, we were all exploring early music, and I was particularly obsessed with, say, gospel and old country, and Sam was obsessed with old country, and Trish had just taken up the banjo. So in some ways, that band was sort of like, our focus was early music, early sort of country-ish, bluesy music, and that kind of was the zone that music was in. But I had always also pursued my love of kind of soul music and folk writing and all this kind of stuff. And I think with my solo stuff, I was able to kind of really explore that territory of how can I bring kind of folk writing and soul influences kind of together. So I think that's, on my own, I kind of like further went in that direction than I had previously with Bigatanya. So
you're an amazing lyricist. Your songs are uplifting at the same time as being kind of gritty and painful. Do you tend to find that when you write, your lyrics inspire your music, or is it usually the other way around?
They usually kind of come together. I find songwriting really, really challenging. And I like to just, like, I think sometimes people think things just come out of you, and sometimes they do, but it's really a tricky process for me, and it's very emotional. And a lot of times, what I call writing, I'm actually just feeling a lot of stuff. So I'll go through months of just kind of processing stuff. I came from a very intense background, very traumatized childhood, and I just may be a very sensitive person. There just tends to be a lot of stuff that I'm kind of working on in my own self, and eventually kind of comes out in song, and not necessarily, it's just like a weird process, but I would say they come together. I'll get like a melody and a lyric together, and if it haunts me, if I kind of wake up in the night and I hear that melody, I kind of know that particular piece kind of wants to be born. So, but yeah, it's a very strange process. it's like a controlled insanity, basically, or not controlled insanity.
Your most recent album, Indian Ocean, was recorded partly in Vancouver and partly at the iconic Royal Recording Studio in Memphis. And the way that all came about was really quite fairy tale like. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. Basically, Al Green, who's a soul artist from Memphis from the 70s, he worked out of a studio called Royal Studios, which is High Records, Willie Mitchell. And this studio is not far from Stax, and this is the real birthplace of what we know of as kind of the most popular soul music of the 70s. And in particular, my entire life, I've been obsessed with not only Al Green, but his band, being what I feel like is one of the most beautiful examples of how people can play together with a lot of feeling and a lot of parts, but with so much subtlety. And basically, I was so inspired by this music that the first album, Obadiah, kind of had these hints and flavors of that sound. And a man by the name of Robert Gordon, who's a filmmaker and a writer and a historian, happened to hear one of my songs on the radio in Memphis at a gas station. He called the radio station to find out who I was. And then he got a hold of me and he said, "Hey, you know what? I know all these guys from Royal Studios, Al Green's old band. Would you like to work with them?" And basically, it was so bizarre for me and such a bizarre kind of dream come true that I couldn't even reply for like a month because I just didn't know how to process that. It was just such a strange synchronicity. I still just shake my head because I'm like, how did that even happen?
One of the lines from your song, Done, which really resonates with me personally and I'm sure with everybody, is, "My joy takes nothing from you." And you also have an awesome video on YouTube for that song, which has had over a million views. What can you tell me about that one?
Yeah, that song came about because of a long process that I was going through with a very difficult person that I had to deal with. And I didn't really even want to record that song. I thought it was too mean. But my bass player actually talked me into it. And as soon as we started playing it, I was like, oh, this song, there's something here. And I feel like people are very afraid of anger, especially of women's anger. And I feel like women have so many reasons, very valid reasons, to be angry and frustrated about the kind of role that they're expected to play. They're always expected to kind of absorb the negativity in a situation and always make room for others. And there's a lot of reasons that we are taught to be so nice and so tolerant. And I think that
that tolerance that we're taught can sometimes be damaging to ourselves. And I think that that song for me was kind of a time in my life was where I was learning how to be compassionate toward myself and compassionate toward somebody else through being able to stand up and say no, and through being able to recognize an abusive pattern. And I think that when I first heard the recording of that, I was like, we really have to validate that feminine anger is fine. Like, it's a part of who we are, and we should be able to express it without being, you know, witch hunted, basically. And there's a real, you know, people overlook the power of anger as a part of their own healing process, especially if they've been through very difficult experiences. And it's really important to reclaim yourself and all of who you are. And it doesn't necessarily have to be damaging towards others to be able to express yourself. And I think that that's something that women should be allowed to embody as part of this aspect of femininity. And I think for me, that's what that song is about.
Soaking the hatred of it.